Well, this morning our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And I love this passage, and I love it so much that I'm going to read it to you twice. Once from the New Living Translation, and then from the Message paraphrase. Listen now to these words that come directly from the lips of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. And the Message paraphrase puts it this way. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not to be kept secret. We're going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I have put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others, and you'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us through these words of Jesus. Change us, challenge us, continue to transform us through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I just love the way that the Message paraphrase starts out our scripture reading for today. Jesus says, let me tell you why you are here. Do you ever ask that question? Why am I here? And what's your answer? Some of us may talk about our various roles in life. Being a spouse, being a parent, being a friend. We may talk about our profession or what we do for work. Some of us may think that life is about attaining stuff. You know, big house, nice car, plenty of resources to do things like send your kids to a great college. Apparently that was big on Felicity Huffman's list. But for some, our identity is about status. Winning awards, being recognized for our accomplishments, being really good at what we do. And there are all sorts of things that we may think of and use to answer the question of meaning. And while all of these things I just mentioned are pretty typical, for us to answer the question that Jesus asked, I want us to go a little deeper, not just settle for these kind of surface things. What are you here for? Well, in our scripture reading today, Jesus said, let me tell you what you're here for. Now, keep in mind, this is not Oprah speaking, or the author of the latest self-help book, or your cousin Vinny giving you advice. This is God in the flesh, creator of everything, creator of the heaven and the earth, creator of all the galaxies, creator of the billions and billions of stars, creator of all of life, including you and me. So Jesus might just have an edge over anyone else that might want to give you advice, even Oprah. So Jesus says, let me tell you why you're here. And from the Summers paraphrase, yet to be published, Jesus puts it this way. Be a game changer. Be a game changer. Don't just go through life trying to get by. Be a game changer. Now, Jesus uses two words, salt and light. It is about making a difference in the lives of other people, pointing them to Christ by the way we live and what we do, helping them to find their way. Jesus said in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." And you would think, since we live in the salt city, that we might have a better understanding of what Jesus meant by this. But let me give you a little background on what it meant in the days of Jesus. Back in the days of Christ, salt was extremely valuable. It was a valuable commodity, partly because salt was used to preserve. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have refrigeration, and salt was used to preserve food. And it was so valuable that it was actually traded by the ounce, just like gold. And Roman soldiers were even paid in salt. In fact, the word salary is derived from the word salt. If a Roman soldier didn't do his job, he wouldn't get all of his salt, and that's where we get the phrase, "he's not worth his salt." So back then, when Jesus used the word salt, people knew what he was talking about. That having salt or not having salt was a game changer. Having salt or not having salt could literally mean the difference between life and death. But if that salt got diluted and got mixed into all other kinds of compounds, it lost its flavor and it became less effective. And eventually it was useless, so it was just thrown out and trampled underfoot. In much the same way, Jesus said, light was a game changer. And in this passage, Jesus goes on to say, "You are the light of the world." So what's the difference between salt and light? Salt refers to our character, who we are. And light relates to our conduct. Salt deals with what we are. Light deals with what we do. When we become more and more a reflection of what Christ lived and taught, it changes us from the inside out. It changes who we are. It changes our character, which in turn spills over into our actions and what we do with our lives. Two things about light. It dispels darkness, and two, it gives ability to see, to take direction. If you've ever been in a really dark place, you know that just one little light is the difference between the ability to see and move around and not. Some of you know I like to sail, and I've been out on the ocean, and I've been on the Great Lakes, and very dark, overcast nights when you can't see anything. And when you don't have the stars to guide you or the moon to light your way, and you only have a compass for your direction, it becomes easy to run aground or to hit a reef or to get into some serious trouble. And back before GPS, that's why lighthouses were so essential. So you saw the light and you know, oh, I'm off this point, or I see this light and I know where I'm at. And it ought to be obvious, but the reason why Jesus commands that we shine as a light is because the world oftentimes is a very dark place. And people lose their way and people hit the rocks and they hit the reefs. And Jesus said, you guys, you're the light of the world. That as people who follow Christ, we are people who are salty by character. We're people who shine the light of Christ by who we are and what we do. And Jesus said, the reason you are here is to be a game changer, making a difference in the lives of others by who we are and what we do that point people to Christ. In Ephesians 5:8, St. Paul writes this, "For we were once in darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light." Now, my guess is that some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So what's he mean when he says, "You are the light of the world"? Well, think of it this way. Jesus is the sun. We are the moon. Jesus is the light that reveals God. We are to be the light that reflects God. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus says, "You're like the light of the world, and a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden." And then Jesus said this, which is very important, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see." So it points people to your Father who's in heaven. So summary, If you allow God to continually change and transform your life, your character becomes more and more a reflection of God's presence. And that reflection gives light to others. Now, I don't believe Jesus was talking about being all self-righteous and pious and super religious as people tend to think that is, doing everything perfectly. I think what he's talking about is living out what's going on inside of us. And when we're spiritually healthy and vibrant on the inside, it's a game changer to the world around us. It spills out all over the place, and it becomes that salt and light that God uses in the lives of people that God puts in our paths. And it changes how we see people and how we treat people. It changes how we do business. It makes us more generous and less self-centered, and that has an impact on everybody around us. You know, as I was writing this message, I thought of the countless people who have been game changers for me. And I'd like to just share just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about, kind of what it looks like from my perspective. When I was in high school, I lived in two very different worlds, which for a high school kid was kind of confusing. I lived in a kind of tough blue-collar neighborhood, and I went to a large inner-city high school. We had 4,200 students, very, very competitive. And in the summer, I would often play golf and swim at the Warwick Hills Country Club, where my parents were members. That's where they played the Buick Open. And membership was part of the perks that my dad got for his job. So in the morning, I'd be out golfing with one group of people. In the afternoon, I'd play basketball at Bergstrom Fieldhouse, and it was in the hood. A lot of people wouldn't even go there. And my guess is I was probably the only white kid within miles when I was there. It was two very different experiences, two very different worlds, and at times it was hard to know, well, where do you really belong, Mark? And then I became involved in a youth group at a local church. My parents didn't go to church, but friends of my sister invited her to this youth group. And then she invited me, and I found kind of this immediate acceptance. Not because I belonged to Warwick or because I played basketball, but just because they accepted me for who I was. And I'll never forget this young couple, Dick and Grace Ann Gatzmeyer. Dick had just graduated from General Motors Institute, now Kettering, and he worked at the local Chevy plant. His wife was a nurse, and they just bought this small house near the church, not far from the factory. And they had this, like, open-door policy to their house. I mean, kids were in and out of there all the time. And it was like you were always welcome there. They were really good listeners, and they connected with what was going on in our lives. And sometimes we'd show up to their house after a football game or after concerts, and we'd crash at their place sometimes. And sometimes there'd be, like, 20 of us gathered in their little house. And they fed us, and we had to really put a dent in their food budget. But they were game changers, not just to me, to so many kids in that youth group. And I can remember when I was really struggling with the decision between law school and seminary, I just went over and plopped myself on their couch, and they just listened to me, and I trying to figure this out. What am I going to do? And they weren't trying to tell me what to do, but I knew no matter what I decided, they were there. And then there was this retired couple, like late 60s, and they worked with our youth group too. They led the senior high Sunday school class, Harold and Ethel Halstead. And I'll never forget this. So every year our youth group would go to Cedar Point. Any of you know Cedar Point? Yeah. Big roller coasters, huge roller coasters. So Harold and Ethel always went with us to Cedar Point. And you know what? They always rode the coasters. I mean, even the biggest coasters, it was like the Blue Streak, and it's like, man, I'm scared to get on there, but there's Harold and Ethel. And I'll never forget them. And my guess is that you probably can look back too and think of people who've been game changers in your life. People who, by the way they lived, were salt and light, and they became a reflection to you of Christ. That's what happens when we open ourselves up to Christ's life-changing presence in our own life. God has a way of using that and using us as game changers to the people we cross paths with. I was thinking about this too. You know, one of my favorite services here at the church is Christmas Eve. And I love it that we take light from the Christ candle, one single light, and we pass it on and on and on to other people. And slowly, as each candle is lit, the darkness of the sanctuary is transformed into light. And to me, it's symbolic of what we are all about as a congregation. Passing the light that Christ gives us individually and then collectively impacting the world. Each of us becomes salt and light as God changes us and transforms us and uses us in the light in the lives of others. And as we bring our individual candles together, it's amazing to see how God can use us as a congregation and the impact that we have that goes far beyond what we can ever imagine. A little over 11 years ago, when I came here, July 13th, 2008, I came as a candidate to be your pastor. And I gave a sermon entitled, "It's Not About Me." And while I understand my role is to provide leadership and kind of be the director of the orchestra, God's given all of us gifts to use to be game changers. And my greatest joy in serving here is not what I do, but witnessing how God is using you and all of us together to make a difference in the lives of other people in our community and really the world. And sometimes I'll go to a basketball game and we come back and we come by the church to pick up my car, and there's tons of cars still here at church. So I said, I'm just going to walk through the building. And I walk in and I know, well, there's a voice lesson that's taking place, and there's the Boy Scouts meeting, and there's this little study group that's going on, and there's some group working on a project. And it just makes me feel really good. And then I hear of all the things that are going on outside these walls where people are coming together and using their gifts to make a difference, being salt and light, being game changers. And I probably don't say this enough to you all, but what a privilege it is to play a part in all this. And while I know this is a tough time for a lot of churches as our society becomes more and more secular and fewer people attend church, I feel increasingly optimistic about who we are and who we're becoming. And it's not about me, it's about you. And it's about God using us to be salt and light and changing other people's lives. Well, today as we gather for homecoming and we kick off our 208th program year, isn't it amazing that we've been around for 208 years? Who can even guess the impact that this congregation has had in Central New York in 208 years? And as a congregation, we continue to evolve and change as the world changes around us, but one thing never changes, and that's God's charge to us to be salt and light to this community and to the world around us. And as we look to the future, I want to share with you a change that is on the horizon. In 2018, I informed a few leaders, key lay leaders here at the church, of my intention to retire after Easter 2020. And in a series of meetings with leaders during 2018, we explored several different options for transition. And at the December 2008 Board of Trustee meeting, three different scenarios were presented. And at that meeting, the Board of Trustees agreed on a scenario where my retirement date would be moved to September 2021. So I plan to be around here for a few more years. And as a part of that scenario, I was granted the opportunity to take sabbatical leave for a few months this spring which was a part of my original agreement with the church, that a sabbatical would be considered after 7 years. It's a little late, but better late than never. So while my agreement with the church requires me to give 3 months' notice, we know that it usually takes 18 months to 2 years to make this transition, and for a non-denominational church like ours, it often takes longer. And while there are a number of things that I want to see us address as a congregation in the next 2 years, one of the things that's most important to me, and I think to us as a church, is the transition to the next senior leader. So during this past summer, the church nominating committee has been hard at work to make a recommendation to the board in forming a senior minister search committee, and that committee will be responsible for guiding the selection process and the transition. The committee will be voted on by the Board of Trustees on Wednesday, October 9th, and then on Thursday, October 10th, there will be a congregational dinner and meeting afterwards where this transition process will be fully explained, and there will be opportunities to for question and answer. So I want to close with this. Even with the challenges that churches of all kinds are facing at this time of dramatic cultural change, I believe that we as a congregation have a unique ability to be a game changer for Christ in Central New York. It requires us to be clearly focused on our mission and creative in our approach. It will not be dependent upon finding some super pastor who makes everything happen, but on the gifts of everyone to be salt and light, to be game changers for our community and beyond. Let us pray. Lord, continue to shape and mold us as individuals and as a church. Help us to continually point to you and point people to you. Continue to bind us together as a congregation as we use all the gifts of all your people to be salt and light, to bring dark and to bring light to a dark and hurting world. Help us to be game changers that change lives on your behalf. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.